On a previous episode of Wisco Weekly,
the future of automotive retail, in my opinion, is going to keep the dealerships at its core. People like to interact with other human beings, and the data is only there to make those interactions much more smooth, easy. And when you think about a consumer today, in many cases, they come to a dealership or interact with a dealership and are much more educated than have ever been before. So what we're trying to do is give the salespeople a chance to be highly educated on the consumer and give them all the right talking points on what really matters to that one single customer, so they can focus on what they do best, that's building the relationship. And that's what's going to matter now, as well as in the future of automotive retail.
And on this episode,
I used to sell cars to psychologists in front of a camera. I used to do extensive tests, so not only understanding the vehicles and the cars, but also looking at maybe, you know, taxation, law, how does it impact companies when they buy a large amount of vehicles. So there's a lot more focus on certification, which you see very little in the U.S.
This is Wisco Weekly, an automotive business podcast sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicken brown, chicken brown cow. Listeners, Wisco Weekly is all about sharing the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive. Over the last few episodes, we've been dealing a lot with the future of transportation. And one of the particular subjects I'm always a fan of, though, just personally, is the dealership of the future. As an example of this, the car buying market, while it is taking a slight dip this year, or it's expected to take a slight dip this year, the need for vehicles is still going to be necessary. And certainly, as I've had my opportunity to talk with dealers, to analyze their business, to interact with their business, I still am not a big fan of the manner in which dealers communicate with customers, either prospective customers or me as a loyal customer when I go to my local dealer. And so it's very important that as we talk about the dealership of the future, there are these elements that get thrown around more on the IT end of things, such as algorithms and big data and predictive analytics and behavioral prediction and things of that nature. And this is all the things that will help improve the customer experience. And I'm lucky and fortunate enough that on today's episode, we get to hear from one such company who actually was on the show about a year ago, right around this time. So Automotive Mastermind is the leading provider of predictive analytics and marketing automation solutions for the automotive industry. Their co-founders are both car guys who have gasoline in their blood, zeros and ones in their brains, and they have schnitzels and brats in their cholesterol. Here to share insight on targeting customers in this new automotive economy, men, women, and children, please welcome to the show co-founder and co-CEO of Automotive Mastermind, Mr. Johannes Genauk. Johannes, how are you, sir?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Really excited to be back. I know we spoke last year, but a lot has happened since then, right? And the market is really, the evolution is going on. And I think that, you know, we always wanted to make sure that the way that dealers and consumers are interacting is a fun experience. That's always been our vision.
Amen.
And easier said than done. I think there's still a lot of anxiety, and I think you were alluding to that from the consumer perspective.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I'm a much more educated consumer customer of, you know, dealership operations, of the car buying process. But even as I am a more educated buyer, I still get flustered with the experience. And so I, again, having known about your company since last year, You know, I'm curious to see how things have been progressing. It seems like you guys have launched a couple new products, which we'll get into. But I thought one of the things, though, too, is that there's always going to be this philosophical battle between automakers and dealers. And while there are all, while you do have, how many automakers do you have under or in your network? Is it about 12 or so?
Close to 20, actually.
Oh, 20. Okay.
And we're expanding.
Okay. So you have 20 automakers under your umbrella, and you have approximately what, 1,200 dealers, or is that number has that number gone up?
Yeah, slightly more than that.
Okay, so obviously there's still a little bit of a disconnect. World domination is not yet at your fingertips, but there's still a good number of dealers that aren't yet on the automotive mastermind platform. But there's you could argue that most automakers are on your platform. My first question as we start off is how would you advise automakers to work with their dealers in maybe not specifically implementing Automotive Mastermind, but in understanding the behavior of the customer?
Yeah, you know, look, I think that the goals for the automakers and the dealers are, identical. The automakers, they want to make sure that their customers have a great experience. And so do dealers. I think where sometimes the disconnect is that, you know, there's many initiatives on both ends and they don't always come together in, you know, one singular beautiful moment, right? Where, you know, you sync all of those data points on what happened with the consumers and how are they reacting. But I think that for us, we've always been extremely close to the manufacturers and the OEMs, you know, to kind of make sure we start with them and we start with them looking at their products, what they have in the pipeline, what kind of incentives they have available for their dealers. And then we could essentially build a better product and think about the OEMs really being a spokesperson for us, helping us to get better embedded into their dealer network. But the dealers are really operating very, for the most part, very independently.
If now we look away from the automaker and dealership relationship, obviously, there's a lot of dealerships, and perhaps, you know, this also carries some underpinnings of independent dealerships and big ones too. You know, independent stores who perhaps are still selling 300 cars a month, right? They may not be using Automotive Mastermind, and they probably don't need such a software at the moment, or they don't realize they need this software. You know, in general, then, how would you advise dealers who aren't using Automotive Mastermind to use behavior prediction in with their existing resources?
Yeah, and you know, some of that is happening today. However, it becomes more difficult, right? Because the amount of data is increasing. How do you connect all of that information? I think in the end, you kind of need a streamlined process. You need a technology vendor that really pulls that all together. But you know, obviously they're as an example, our sister company, IHS Automotive, really focuses on, as an example, generating conquest audiences. So looking at households, their buying patterns, perhaps in a more isolated way, right? But if you don't have access to what we call a more holistic sales platform that brings all the consumers in one place, right, then you could obviously start, you know, having perhaps access to a, you know, reasonably good CRM system, you know, some basic data mining efforts that you could be doing. And then you could go outside of that and see, are there any external assets that I can buy? It obviously is challenging because, like I said, initially opening this up, bringing it all together and learning, you know, from behavior on how are your loyalty customers behaving and then applying that on the conquest side, that's where some of the real power comes in, right? Because once you understand your existing customers, why they're buying from you, you can apply that same behavior on customers that you have no relationship with.
Interesting. So, yeah, I guess you can always piecemeal some kind of behavior process or behavior prediction process manually, mm-hmm. but essentially then you still kind of need that that brain to put it all together. And that's where obviously Automotive Mastermind would come into play.
Yeah, I mean, look, that would also explain our evolution as an organization, right? I mean, 6 years ago, our vision was, wouldn't it be great if we could rank and score every existing customer that transacted with the dealership in the past and allow dealers to, you know, work their existing customers better, increase loyalty rates. And then over time, you know, as we did that and the consumers were seeing the benefit, right? Suddenly you were getting marketing that actually spoke to you. We were offering you vehicles that are in your interest. We were offering you transactions that are not only transparent, but are highly relevant to you. Once dealers saw that and we were doing that on the retention side, they were saying, you know, hey, stop, you know, that works really well now for 50% of my customers. But what about the other 50% that, you know, are perhaps coming in my service drive or that live in my neighborhood, but I have no relationship with them? And that's really where we made it a point to, you know, continue that journey and to build what we call Market IQ. That's a holistic sales platform that identifies and speaks to any consumer that's in the local market, right? So even we were having the struggles that you were mentioning because we couldn't replicate the same experience on other consumers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this Market IQ, and listeners, if you have the chance, there is this webinar that Johannes did that is pretty enlightening. So you've identified three particular segments of buyers. You have your retention, you have your service customers or conquesting your service customers, and then you actually have conquesting customers. So that is what this Market IQ platform does. It brings in all those three segments of audiences and then provides data around those three in order to sell them a car, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that these concepts have always existed and dealerships were investing in one way or the other into, you know, loyalty retention, service to sales, which is service conquest, as well as what we call more of the pure conquest, so targeting fresh customers. But what we found is these processes were very inconsistent. So I might invest as a dealership 3 months into my loyalty marketing, and then once a quarter, I try to target fresh customers. So, and then now that the market is becoming tougher, it's flattening for the first time ever, we're not experiencing a sales increase. It becomes very important that you have a consistent experience every single month, right? To target those three segments on a very consistent basis.
So perhaps with Market IQ and maybe even that of Service Mastermind, is that what it's called, Service Mastermind?
So a Market IQ really is one sales platform where these, you could call them audiences, are embedded into the sales platform. And think about it where, you know, whereas before Mastermind would rank and predict consumer behavior, point out customers that are ready to buy on the loyalty side, now you have all of these customers in the same place mm-hmm. in the application. So you have your sales team reaching out to any of these three on a daily basis, monthly basis. But then you also have, you know, marketing efforts, traditional channels, digital channels that are engaging with these consumers then on a very personal level.
Now, and so as we kind of were talking before we started recording here, you know, I get frustrated, and even people that, you know, either listeners or referrals that come to me, they express their frustration to me when they contact a dealer, they submit their information. And, you know, whether if it's as basic as, hey, I just want your best price, or, hey, can you tell me, is that car that's listed on your website, does it have X option? It doesn't say it on your website. The ability for a dealer to communicate with customers is still very aggressive in a manner that is, hey, well, why don't you come into the store? Mm-hmm. And I would believe that, you know, there's still a good amount of customers that while they submit their information to the store, they're still not ready to buy yet. But on the dealer's end of it, they're trained to say, hey, you know, hey, here's your $500 off offer. Hey, that lease special is only good till this weekend. And so they're constantly, you know, pushing out 3 emails, 5 emails within 2 days to try to get them into the store. You have advocated for a different approach, one that I'm a big fan of. And that is kind of being more proactive so that you're not really, you know, if we were to look at a marketing funnel, right, where the very top is your awareness, your mid funnel is the interest, and the lowest funnel is the consideration. While it seems like you guys are always going to focus on that bottom portion, right, to ensure that when the customer is there, all the data about that customer speaks to them. But in the proactive approach, you kind of have to stay at the mid funnel where you're still discussing interest. I guess I'm failing to see how you guys are executing on that proactive level. Can you maybe explain how that works?
Yeah, of course. And maybe just to reiterate on what you just mentioned, actually, when we launched Mastermind 6 years ago, and our philosophy was to change exactly what you said, that consumers suddenly would have all of the information at their fingertips. They knew exactly, you know, to the penny what every transaction or every car would cost them. So, you know, making it very easy for them to make the decisions. But dealers gave tremendous pushback in terms of, you know, hey, we don't even disclose this information to our sales team. How in the world are you disclosing that to consumers? Mm-hmm. But then once actually dealers saw the positive response from customers, that they actually appreciated that, and that they were able to make a faster decision, then it resonated with dealers that, hey, this is actually helping me to grow my business faster. Consumers have a better experience, and I sell cars actually smarter than I was able, you know, before. And then second to that, around that proactiveness that you just mentioned, you know, I think that consumers oftentimes consider multiple things, right? So you might be open to purchasing a Mercedes-Benz, but you have always thought about a BMW, but you have no clue how, you know, whether or not you would be able to afford that car. So with us now, looking at kind of the household first, understanding what cars you drive, and then, you know, targeting you from the loyalty side, but perhaps even from the conquest side, ensures, right, that you as the consumer, you might actually make that decision to stay loyal with the customer much faster as you would otherwise, right? Because you get that Mercedes-Benz offer and that BMW offer served at the exact same time. And you can make a very good decision based on that.
Yeah, so let's take that example and expand it a little bit. So I guess first off, listeners, if you don't understand the concept of conquest, this is the idea that if you have done business with one particular brand and you're considering moving to another brand, then the other brand that you're considering is essentially conquesting you so that you go purchase their brand. So Johannes, in that example then, if in my household I have a BMW and an Audi, and yeah. But I mean, I guess those dealers would also have to be part of the Automotive Mastermind network. But let's say, if BMW is not, and you know, I have an Audi, are you just kind of pulling the closest BMW dealer to my household, even though they may be like 40 miles away, to conquest me to mm-hmm. switch into BMW? Is that the particulars?
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a great point, right? In order for the consumer to actually benefit from that consistent experience, we would have to work with the majority of the dealers that are in your market, right? Because otherwise we could not really go there. And, you know, that's why we really want to also expand our footprint. And we've made a conscious decision to really add more value in our offerings, include essentially all these three audience in our core offering, right? We could have also gone out there and tried to sell these offerings as separate, but that would have not benefited, or that would actually have hurt the experience of the of the household that you're just describing.
Well, I mean, if I'm to envision this perfect car ownership world where I have my relationship with my local dealer, and again, even if I am being conquested, if that dealer, presuming, had all this data, and again, you know, let's just say in this world, Automotive Mastermind did not exist, right? But the technology, the ideas, the concepts did exist, the behavior prediction, the predictive analytics, that did exist. Well, I as a customer would be a you know, as a loyal customer of my dealer, I would be a much bigger fan going to that dealer, knowing the fact that they had some background information and they can talk to me in the way that is relevant to me at that time. And similarly, that the other dealer, if I was to purchase from them, they would have that same information. So, you know, I'm going to say this, not you, and obviously I know this would put you in probably a tougher situation, but it's like, in a lot of ways, I would actually trust you and Automotive Mastermind to take better care of me than the dealership. There wouldn't be any such way where Automotive Mastermind develops its own kind of brand to filter that customer information to the dealers, would there?
I mean, look, the scenario that you were just describing is actually real, right? So you own an Audi, you're with your local dealership, but they actually should know about that BMW, right? And they should have that opportunity to talk to you about, you know, hey, notice, Dennis, your BMW is coming up and perfectly fine if you continue staying with BMW. But just so you know, we actually have a national conquest initiative where you qualify for a $5,000 rebate should you decide to trade in that BMW for an Audi. So I think, you know, for us it is really allowing dealers to have that visibility, because historically, to be fair to dealers, they didn't have that. They would have had no clue that you actually have a BMW in the garage. So they were sort of limited in the way that they were talking to you. And I think dealers are actually extremely willing to change, to be more proactive. There are some great operators, right? Dealers have not the best reputation in the market. But, you know, I see many great stories that I could share. And, you know, I think to answer your question, we as Mastermind, we really want to empower dealerships to make progress in what we're discussing faster. And they can only make it faster if we give all of these ingredients to them so they can serve you better.
Do you make a delineation between dealerships and dealerships that are part of an auto group? So I guess this kind of would go back to then to, you know, the scenario of like, well, I can see an auto group who does have a BMW and an Audi store in their group, in which, again, I'm getting this targeting marketing messages from the auto group, which then directs me down the path to the dealership.
Right. So auto groups are already sort of proactively doing that, right? If you go on any of the major auto groups websites, their experience that they're showing to you is you can browse and look at all vehicles that they have in inventory, which is a great approach, right? Because you don't necessarily want these dealers to just compete in an isolated fashion, but you want to make sure that the consumer in the end has really a good experience. And then, you know, that is great, right? If you are a customer of a dealer group, and they can offer you a variety of models that actually go beyond of just, you know, certain makes and models.
Well, so then as you have been in business for so long now, and you have all these dealerships and automakers and all this data, ultimately, if I, as a customer who's looking to do business with a dealership, what would be some of the key factors that I, as a customer, could identify with that dealership to know they are, you know, they know me, they understand me, they get me, they are on my side. Mm-hmm. What tips would you say to a customer when they either talk, interact, look at a dealership? How would you identify those character traits of a dealership that communicates they are on the customer side?
Yeah. And, you know, that obviously depends, right? What kind of relationship do you have with the dealership? If you are an existing customer, then I would expect a lot more in terms of the dealer really understanding your current account, your current vehicle, really kind of knowing how you're tracking on driving patterns. You know, perhaps you drive too much or too little based on the lease that you signed up for. What's happening with your warranty? Are there any risks, right? Knowing about not just the car that they're calling you about, but maybe they have sold you multiple cars, and they should know all that, right? And even even beyond that. And then I think on the conquest side, right, if you are now a fresh customer to that dealership, then what we are driving right now with Mastermind, you could expect that those dealers are just going to be more aware of what you are actually driving, what you sort of have done historically, to, you know, to find a better, a better offer for you, essentially. And also dealers being very transparent around the incentives that you qualify for, right? Because, you know, they're being updated on a monthly basis, and certain models are incentivized more than others, which is pretty much has to do with, you know, demand and supply, obviously. But, you know, all of that should be disclosed to the consumer very transparently. Hmm. And I think you will, you can realize and tell, because in a perfect world, that starts already with the outreach. So disclosing those things to you in advance, before you even have to ask for it.
Yeah, so that, exactly.
That would, the best dealerships would probably approach it in such way.
Yeah, amen to that. Seriously, and kudos to you. And I hope you continue to do that work, because I, as a consumer, and I, as I talk to other people, that's what I want to be talking about with all dealerships. Again, I would agree. There are definitely a good number, although they're in the minority, there are a good number of dealer operators that are running their business the right way, but there's just not enough of them around, especially here in Southern California, where it's very, very competitive. So you just, in addition to doing business differently, your operation has to speak that way. And I still see, you know, a lot of dealership bios that would communicate therefore the customer experience. And then just upon immediate, the first interaction, if it's a lead, if it's a call, if it's talking with chat, there's that immediate disconnect. So, one of the things then, as we move forward in this future of transportation, so you're obviously collecting a lot of dealer, customer data on behalf of the dealer, but there's still a lot of car data, car data as tied to the vehicle telematics system. What do you guys have any plans to, be able to tie in vehicle data? Are you guys coming out with any hardware that would say, hey, plug this? Even though I hate the idea, although I think that's still the best way to plug something into the OBD that all of a sudden tracks this data, miles, acceleration, braking. And then by the time, again, I would come to a service department, now that can be paired with all the information you guys already have. Are you guys doing anything of that? Or is that, do you guys think about that stuff?
And you are obviously familiar with our sister company, Carfax. Mm-hmm. Really, their entire business model is around understanding, every single used car, and to provide transparency to consumer around the exact history of that car. And the mileage is just one of many factors, So I think we collect, millions of data points around the vehicle history. And we would seek to partner with OEMs that are tracking that information, with other independent companies that are making progress in that. So I think we wouldn't necessarily invest in doing it ourselves, but really partner with the right people in order to do that. Another thing is also, as sort of transportation, I want to say that there's even more optionality with, ride sharing and other things. So suddenly that household that in the past only leased cars, suddenly they do so many other things as well. Which actually, if you want to serve the customer the right way, you need to kind of know about that, right? How much are you investing in ride sharing? Does it even make sense for you to lease a car and such? And I think that's where the analytics are going to be extremely helpful as well.
And I mean, the amount of dealerships that are already integrating other, mobility as a service type products. A company that I had on my show, Hire Car, for instance, you guys aren't doing, or do you guys have anything in place with dealerships already that do offer these types of mobility as a service products where you can, again, take, for instance, me, I go into my, to service my car, and, it seems like Dennis, look, it looks like you do a lot of ride sharing too. So, you know, maybe we won't upsell you or we won't try to sell you a car, but maybe we'll sell you a subscription to our ride sharing service with our dealership. So that way you don't always have to flag down Uber. But, you know, again, you can identify those data marks. Do you guys do that already or is that possible?
Yeah. So you see a lot of those initiatives, and a variety of initiatives and lots of pilots, whether it's from the OEMs, whether it's from the dealers, but really getting there. And you also see investments that manufacturers are making in these areas. So I would say we're probably still in the, infant stages of that. But as that progresses, we as Mastermind, for us, this is a really big opportunity to help dealers, because it will become so much more complex to give you the right guidance as a consumer once you have more options at your fingertips. But you also see it on the used car side specifically, right? So there's dealers that are offering subscriptions, and you can bring that vehicle back at any point in time and pick up a different used car that you might want to drive for a couple months.
Okay, actually, hold on here. So I actually do want to, you bring up something, and without you saying it, I know what you're saying, and I want to actually ask you about this then. This whole idea of used car leasing, this is the model of essentially a company that has come on by storm, Fair. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious, and this may put you in a tough position, so feel free to answer in the best way possible, but
sure.
How are you guys able now to then suggest to a customer who, again, based on their data, based on their behavior, it's like, hey, look, yeah, it looks like you have this $600 payment on a new car and you're getting out of your lease. Looks like you changed jobs. Your income is not as much. Maybe you could benefit from a used car lease. And therefore now you are more or less advocating for somebody to use the platform of Fair.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think, and I said this before, I think that the auto industry, the vendor space has to become a lot more open to integration, right? Connecting various technologies, because what you're describing, right? There's a certain segment of dealers, a certain segment of consumers that are right now enjoying those benefits. It's perhaps not everyone, but from our point of view, we would be very open to embrace that. I think, and ultimately the decision maker is the consumer. If 5% of the customers like to buy a used car in such way, then we as Mastermind, we would be the first ones to embrace that. And I think it's come up already. I've received dealer feedback that it is well received, that it's a valid option. There's obviously lots of things we still have to figure out, right? What happens to these cars when they come back? What happens if it's at scale? But it's definitely interesting.
It's great to hear. It's refreshing to hear about the openness to partnerships. I mean, certainly when, I've made the argument before that over the last few years now, probably, the idea or the industry of transportation, has been swallowing the automotive sector. Because more people, be it if it's if it's social issues of climate change and therefore reducing your carbon footprint, if it's trying to decongest traffic. So it's these topics that kind of take center stage with the consumer. That the other element that takes center stage is the dealership that takes center stage with these consumers. And so there's still that disconnect between what consumers are looking at on the transportation end and then what dealerships are providing as an extension of the automaker. So with all the data that you guys then possess, are you able to share any insights on the time reduction, or if not time reduction, like what the experience has been like when Automotive Mastermind has been implemented at a dealership?
Yeah, in the past, right, we would look at loyalty performance. So a dealership might retain today 40% of their customers, but then over time they will experience a lift in customer loyalty because they're speaking to their consumer in a better way, in a more modern way that is asked by consumers. So we're seeing a loyalty lift, and we have seen that over the last 6 years. which has brought us to where we are today. And then with Conquest, you know, it really allows us to make sure that we have an impact into sales growth, because you could do extremely well on retaining your customers, but you could be neglecting finding, you know, new ways of selling to consumers that you don't know. So now that we're doing consistently, the metric that we will be focused on is not just tracking, you know, how many loyal customers are we keeping, how much conquest inflow is there, but what about the sales growth of that dealership while others in their market might be declining in sales? So that's one stat that we're going to be focused on.
Walk me through that one more time. You're focusing on the sales growth of the dealership as opposed to the dealers that are running flat.
Correct. So in a flattening market, you would expect that some dealership, you know, let's just take a dealership sold 1,000 new and used cars last year. Mm-hmm. So how many are they going to sell in a flattening market, right? Mm-hmm. Is it 950 or a decline of 50? Or are they going to be able to actually, you know, respond to the trend and grow their business or retain it at the same level at least? So that's what we ultimately are going to be focused on with our new sales platform, because it's really designed to sell the maximum number of cars in your local market and to really sort of take control over that.
Yeah, okay. And that goes back to that whole proactively outreaching to your customer even before that they're ready to transact with you.
Exactly.
Okay. A couple more questions here for you. Is Ford a part of your network?
So Ford presently is not one of the supported OEMs. And, you know, for us, each manufacturer or dealer that we work with is an undertaking, right? Because we don't take it lightly what it means to ingest their product lifecycle data, their incentives data, what it's like to look at the buying patterns of these different consumers. So if we were about to work with Ford, we would have to do, you know, the same sort of due diligence and process that we've done with our auto partners. So there's a certain rate at which we can actually take on new partners, and we try to not, you know, over promise and then under deliver. So we've always heavily invested in that.
You know, your answer actually kind of like squashed the question, which was going to be like, how would you pitch Ford? But obviously now as the answer is kind of more of this, you know, you're on the receiving end of things, and it's like, you're processing the data. So, I mean, I'm sure if Ford reached out, you would take it. But at the same time, too, you're trying to optimize what you guys are doing now, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you guys are probably maxed out in those efforts.
Right. You want to make sure you are able to support the dealers, because nothing would be worse than, you know, going in with a half-baked product that doesn't perform at the same level as for the other of our customers. So you're absolutely right.
So in this idea of proactively outreaching to the customer, right? And now you're taking data from all your different sources, especially of what IHS Market provides, TransUnion provides. You have another partnership with TransUnion. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, we're kind of talking about that mid-funnel approach. You know, you're trying to create interest amongst the customers. So is there particular, how are you approaching the content of those messages?
And by content, you were just talking about all the data that we essentially aggregate. What specifically do you mean by content?
Well, so like if I am, again, I'm in Southern California. Let's say my Audi lease is up in September. Okay, mm-hmm. What can I expect to see and feel with a dealer network around me? And that would include my local dealer who has my business already and a conquesting dealer.
Yeah.
What can I expect? Again, something that's tangible that I can look and feel about what's supposed to happen in September.
Yeah. So you're already very familiar with how our product has been running over the last 6 years and what kind of transparency or messaging it provided to loyal customers. We essentially, in terms of information level, on the service to sales side with the partnership with TransUnion, we're providing the, I want to say, almost identical or exact analytics to the dealer and the consumer, even though you didn't purchase your car at that dealership. And now one step further, even on the what I refer to as pure conquest. So with our relationship with TransUnion and other assets that we do collect, we can get extremely granular on how we, you know, in terms of when do we approach you and how do we approach you. And one example would be, you could expect us to know that your lease is expiring within a certain time frame. And when that exactly is, expect us to know exactly what you're driving, what you're currently paying for that car. And based on those data points, we can structure an offer that is relevant to you.
And so then, because they're so customized, are we looking at then emails and mailers as the form of communication?
So it depends. So we really have balanced the use of direct mail, email, but are venturing heavily even into more digital channels, which, you know, would include Facebook, Instagram, and others. So we're running many pilots in order to, because right with all this information and with consumers kind of changing the way that they want to get that information served, it becomes very complex. And you know, that's one of the benefits of our new platform, that it tries to really solve that problem in terms of how to engage, what channel is the right one, and at what moment.
So again, it's like the unfortunate thing in all this, Johannes, is the fact that I would love to know which dealers, let's say in my particular area, or again, if there's a listener in another particular area, which dealers are using Automotive Mastermind, because I would heavily lean towards those dealers because I know what's going on there, right? It speaks to this whole transparency, right? It's the whole idea of, well, you know, I think last year, I believe it was Marco used the analogy of, like, you know, Netflix, you know, how does Netflix keep you so engaged? Well, they collect all this information, they recommend movies to you. That's behavior prediction.
Yeah.
It's like knowing these dealers that would have what you guys offer, again, as a customer, makes me feel better. Is it possible to know which dealerships in my area?
And I mean, we're not reluctant to take a lead from you either. So if there happens to be one that's not on Mastermind yet, happy to obviously, you know, discuss. We're expanding, right? We want to grow market share. That's one of our, you know, key initiatives.
Well, in growing market share, what's the expansion looking like outside the U.S.?
Right. So we discussed, you know, rough number of dealerships that we have at the beginnings of the call. You would know there's about 17,000 dealers just in the U.S. market. Probably not every single one of those 17,000 is open to leveraging analytics like we're discussing it today. So you can sort of, you know, drill down a little bit. You know, but then for the foreseeable future, there is tremendous potential in sort of expanding in the U.S. and really being part of that transformation in automotive that's happening right now, which is super exciting to be part of. And then, you know, there are markets that are obviously very close to us. There's markets that are further away from us, but represent tremendous opportunities. For us, it comes back to really the resourcing question, right? Because if you venture off into a different country, you know, these dealers are going to operate different. The consumers are going to buy different. You'll have to build up a similar organization as we have today.
And you got to do the language translations too, which that's a nightmare too.
Yeah. So we view that we have, you know, great opportunity to do it right in the U.S. first and foremost. That's our primary initiative. But at the right time, we'd be super open to even, you know, exploring other countries as well.
And, you know, so kind of last question here for you then. So obviously you are you're native to Germany.
Yep.
And you've been living out here in the U.S. since 2006, 7?
A little over 10 years now, yep.
Okay. You know, in Germany, did you work in the car business in Germany?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything about the German car business that has benefited you here, or even, well, yeah, let's look at that angle. Is there anything about the German car culture that greatly benefits you here in the U.S.?
Yeah, look, we talk about this here and then, but sort of the being a car salesman in Europe, or specifically in Germany, where I was part of, meant for me that, you know, I studied automotive marketing for 3 to 4 years. I went through a sales certification for, almost 2 years. I used to sell cars to psychologists in front of a camera. I used to do extensive tests, so not only understanding the vehicles and the cars, but also looking at maybe, you know, taxation, law, how does it impact companies when they buy a large amount of vehicles. So there's a lot more focus on certification, which you see very little in the US. And I think for me, what that meant is I was looking at that car purchase and that experience from the dealer side in a very different way, right? There were lots more question marks in my head as to, you know, how that ideal journey looks like. And here, in the US, it's still, you could become a car salesman or get into the car business almost by accident. And then, so you get into the business by accident, you don't get great mentorship, and then suddenly one day you are running a dealership, operations of a dealership. Well, you know, then you're back to the scenario that you described earlier, that you have a level of unsophistication, right? And that then is a bad experience for the consumer.
So that's actually very interesting and enlightening, actually. That's really interesting. Well, Johannes, I sincerely appreciate you being on the show. How can people follow you?
Well, we're all over, right? LinkedIn, Facebook, obviously, you know, direct inquiries. You know, we're always happy to speak with anyone and everyone, right? We do lots of interviews and events like the one today.
Well, great. Johannes, thank you very much for being on Wisco Weekly. I look forward to following your guys' progress. Listeners, I'll be sure to include his information as well as Automotive Mastermind's information on the episode notes, so please be sure you check on that. And on behalf of myself, Kelly, and Rudy, as we end every episode, cheers, prost, l'chaim, kipis, nastravi, salud, kampai, mabruk, tutsins, gambe, yamas, to the customer experience.